Okay, good. All right. So, hi, good morning. 9 o'clock. Wow. Thanks for showing up and being a part of this with me. So, we're going to have a little experiential here today, actually on two levels, and I'm hoping I can make it all through this and with the two experientials. So, I'm going to kind of run through what I've got up here pretty quickly, and if I sound a little out of breath or a little shaky, I'm recuperating from COVID, and what it's done is it's affected my blood sugar, and it kind of causes me to have some shaking and kind of feel out of breath, so bear with me. And it's affected my memory, so I'm going to be checking my notes a lot more often than I normally would. Okay, so I'm going to get right into it, okay? This is called bringing your soul to light and bringing yourself back to the divine. Now I'm going to hope that I know how to move these into the next frames, but let's, well, I want to begin by just telling you who I am. My name is Lori Wheeler. I've been a practitioner for, I'm not counting, but it's over 25 years. And how I got into this is kind of a unique situation. I've only heard one other person have something similar. Back in 89, my first husband and my four children and myself, we bought a piece of land, big plot, and we didn't know, but it was Native burial ground. And that, just saying it, you can imagine what that might have been like, but we were unaware of it, okay? So if you believe in there are no accidents, it was no accident. It was part of the destiny. One day, after having been in the house a while, well, we knew something was in the house kind of shortly after we got in, after we built the house. There was always a feeling of something watching. I'd take the dog out for a walk, and I just felt like there were eyes on me all the time. So one day, I was in real estate at the time, and one day I'm, you know, sitting in the backyard doing my work on the phone, and I got this feeling like I should just take a walk into the woods. And now we had this big, old, massive pine tree, and it was a unique tree. My kids used to ride their ATV around it. It was just something about this tree. And I just walked into the woods, and it was like the tree called me, but I have to tell you, I didn't know anything at this time. I was not really aware of spiritual understanding. Actually, I was in a religion at that time, so, or kind of. So I walked up to this tree, and I leaned up against it, and I was teleported to another time. And that was sort of my beginning into this. And what it was, and I'll give you a quick skinny, it was one small scout party, a Native American, came to kill many others while they were sleeping in another tribe, and they were successful. When I leaned up against the tree, all the souls that had been lost and killed went right into me. And I felt like I was at a funeral for 100 people that I did not know. And that was my rude awakening. So I often say my awakening was a rude awakening. But it taught me from there. I met a Native American man in spirit, who I won't mention, came to me and began to teach me after that. And by the way, what they asked me when I received all this energy from the what I call the mother tree or the burial tree there, was they asked me if I could release their souls. And I said, I would be so happy to do that. I just don't know how to do it. So you're going to have to show me how to do this. And this was really the beginning of, one, connecting with spirit, listening. Also, the acceptance of, I'll do it even though I really don't know what the outcome or what it's all about. And so I think that's why they've connected the way they do, because I'm willing to receive at whatever the cost is. And I say that kind of carefully because there have been many costs, but it's okay. So they taught me ceremony, and it was sort of my intro into even shamanic journey work, and I've been in that for a very long time. So kind of a menagerie of different spiritual happenings. Let's see. And then from there, I learned that I am what's known as an interplanetary soul. So there are three types of souls. There is an earth-based soul, an interplanetary soul, and there's souls that come from the angelic realm. And they all exist on the earth here right now. So earth-based souls are those that incarnate time after time after time. Most of the time on earth, they may incarnate in another place several times, but it's really not often. It's in their contract that they are earth-based and that they're going to come back to grow themselves, evolve, and help others then along the way. And then there are interplanetaries like myself. I am an Arcturian. That took some time to learn that. But when I learned it, it was like the world opened up, okay? And because it gave me an understanding of why did I always feel different, in fact, feeling like the stork dropped me in the wrong household, you know? Or maybe even just on Earth, I shouldn't even be here, you know, because it was such a strange place when I was really young. So then interplanetaries, they come from all over. And then there's the angelic realm. And the angelic realm, they have certain souls only that come to Earth. And there are very few. It's a very minimal amount. It's rare when you meet someone, but when you meet somebody from the angelic realm, one of the things I've learned from, and I work in past life, between lives, and future lives, soul regression. So I've worked with many interplanetaries, earth-based and angelic, and this is where I learned some of this, is that often the common denominator is that they feel they have wings or that they could fly at some point in their life. It's an interesting concept to talk with someone and kind of get inside their head, because you can begin to feel and see that they're from the angelic realm. So, and sometimes they really don't even know they are. So when posing that to them, it's been just such an enlightening thing for folks that I've met, like, how do you know that? And so it's intriguing for them that it's like an eye-opener, you know? All right, so quickly running through this. So what is light? It consists of electromagnetic radiation. Well, we're electromagnetic too. So if you stop and think about it, we're all light. Everything has light in it, and but varying degrees of light. And so today's topic, or what I want to talk about and run through quickly, is bringing more light into yourself and experiencing who you are as the light being that you are, because ultimately this is what it's all about. Okay. So, all right, let's see if I can go to the next one. Where are we? Okay, so I'm going to just try and do this really quickly. So what does it mean to bring your soul to light? So it means to bring yourself back to your divine nature, like you have a divine nature. When I work in past life, any type of soul regression, one aspect that we always get to within the whole session is, and I feel it's probably of the utmost importance is that we experience who we are in the divine nature that we are. Now, many of us, how many have ever spoken to their high self or receive information? Raise your hand. Yeah, most everybody has. And I'm sure everybody has. You may not even know it. But who has really experienced merging with your high self where you do not experience any emotion, any baggage, any illusions that you carry in your human nature? Who has experienced this? Oh, that's awesome. I love to see that. That's great. Well, that's the part that I think is most important, because what it does is it helps us connect to the light that we really are, the magnificent soul of who we truly are. And that's the favorite part for everybody. So when I do regression, I always ask, what's your favorite part that you experienced? And it's usually meeting their high self, because it's not even just the meet, it's the merger. It's the experience of, this is my divine nature. This is the light being that I really am. And the ego, yes, we need ego. We came in. It sort of goes with the package of the body. You know, are you going to buy the body? Well, you're going to get the ego. Is the, you know, you have to have it, because it's a learning experience. It's a smattering, like a smorgasbord here of, I'm going to learn through this and this and this, okay? And that's what I'm going to have on my plate in the ego. So I hear oftentimes people say, well, they want to get rid of their ego. And I'm like, no, it's a part of your body, like your arm, leg, or anything else. It's part of you. You have it to learn through, to grow through. And that's how you learn to know who you really are, through that experience, through the trials and errors and understanding, and come more into the light. Let's see. Okay, so, all right. So let's talk about frequency here for a minute. Okay. So, okay. So everything has a frequency. And how I know that is, I'm a person who, I'm a receptor of energy, and I communicate what that energy is transmitting. So I can put my hand on something, or I can hear something, but it comes through me in whatever language or however it shows up. And then I have to, through my filters, translate that into an English. There is a margin of error. I'll tell you, there's no one that really gets it 100%, and I don't either. But pretty close enough that you really understand. So everything does have a frequency. Your thoughts and emotions have frequency. Your food. This is something I think that many people don't really think about. Our food has energy, and it has light. And so when you're, you know, stirring the pot, cooking the food, you're destroying the light that was in that food. Now, I'm not telling you to eat your hamburger raw, okay? But when you pick vegetables or fruit, or you eat food that's live, it has more light than dead food. So, you know, just think about that, because that light speaks to your cells. They actually communicate to each other. And this is a real truth, because we are all, and everything has electromagnetics, okay? And that's how we communicate also. So nothing exists unless you give it energy and bring it to a reality. Nothing exists independently of consciousness and how you perceive it. So I perceive that this carpet has some orange in it, but somebody else may perceive that that is purple. So in their reality, this is purple, and in my reality, this is orange. And this is why right now we're experiencing so much difference, because, and it's so personal, because it's how we're perceiving the experiences and what we're bringing into reality. And I'll just back up. So I'm in Guanajuato, well, outside of Guanajuato, which is in central Mexico. And we were brought into what's called the Lemuria Center at the time. And I'll give you a quick skinny. We actually went to a school, high school, where there were rival gangs in this high school. They had been fighting, their parents fight, their grandparents fighting so many years back. Didn't even know what they were really fighting about anymore in this high school, right? But they were just fighting. And so we did a shamanic journey, about 90 kids, high school age. We had them all lay down on the auditorium floor, if you can imagine that, right? You know, high school kids laying on top of each other. We had a lot of fun with it. And I don't speak Spanish. My husband's fluent, but so I'm saying and he's translating. But we had a blast. But what was most important was, you know, in that culture, they very much understand shamanism. It's not a far stretch for them. And we had them all lay down, and we did the journey. And what I could see, now in their culture, they're very, Catholicism is very big. And I could see Jesus, Sananda, walking down the center aisle, talking to the children. This was in my vision, talking to the young people, saying, lay down your arms, stop fighting. There's no need for it anymore. You have no reason any longer. The reason doesn't exist any longer. When we were done, they got up and they were like amazed at this. And they said, how did you do that? How did you do that? Well, first of all, I don't do it. It's just facilitating what's coming through and through intention. But it was so good for them because they made a pact that they were going to stop fighting. That's amazing. That's the light coming in through that ceremony. So here I am. I'm in Guanajuato. We go up this mountain, and the woman that brought us up, she said, she was a little cranky that day, and she says, so what do you think these spirals are about? And I said to her, well, let me put my hand on it, and I'll see what it says. And I did, and you could feel the vibe. You could feel it ancient. She said it was 10,000 years old, which just in that, it was exciting. But what it told me is, this is the story of life. The spiral is the story of all of life throughout. I mean, you can go to the cosmos, you can go down to look at a shell that is a spiral, and it's all about the story. Okay, so let's see, where am I now? Okay, on to the next one. So when you go into indigenous cultures, and I've been in many, fortunately, and very blessed, because you get experience, a rich experience of outside of yourself, but outside of your norm. If you look at the Aborigines, if you look at South America, Central America, wherever, many cultures chant, sing, pray. I've seen them do it when they're harvesting, when they're planting. What they're doing is they're putting intention, they're bringing light into what they're doing through a resonance, through the song. And I love how the Aborigines say, sing it to me, bring it to you, sing it in song, because there's a vibration and intention there. So it is the energy that's behind your request that the universe is responding to. So it's not the request, it's the energy that's behind it. So if you ever stood online and somebody, you know, kind of looked at you kind of cross or something, and, you know, you knew they weren't really in the best of mood, but they kind of said, yeah, I'll move, but it wasn't really what they wanted to do, you know? So it's the energy that's behind the request. So you, So you ask with your vibration, and as you do that, it gains momentum for you. Okay, let's see, 10. Okay, so any questions yet or anything? Okay. I know I'm talking to a group that is far more savvy and understanding than some of the groups I speak to. So bear with me if you know a lot of this. But as somebody reminded me last night, we can all do to remember a little bit or be reminded of things. So why is this so important? Well, there are some of us that are wanting, desiring, and will move into 5D. And in order to do that, it requires opening your heart, expanding your heart. Now, how many know they've seen their heart open more over maybe just the last couple years? Yeah, isn't it amazing how we're opening? Okay, so if you notice, there are a lot of tragedies that happen. You know, 9/11 was one, the Boston bombing. There are many tragedies. These tragedies happen because if you stop and think about what goes on in a tragedy, people do not stop and think, well, I don't know, should I help that person or whatever? What's the immediate thing that occurs? Anybody? Yeah, you just respond. It's an automatic, sort of unconditional, I'm going to help that person. Think of all the light that comes in at that point. Do you know how much light there was at the time of 9/11? It was so big. It was so big, even though there was tragedy. And by the way, those people that did pass or ever do pass in a tragedy, they contract to leave. As a soul, we all, within our contract, make provisions for exit points, and we have more than one. So I kind of liken it to this. If you life is too tough and you can't handle it or don't want to or for whatever the reason is, you may leave. Nobody's standing up there saying, you cannot go, or you cannot anything. I mean, you may have some guidance that says, you know, let's just try and nudge this person a little bit more toward this rather than this. But ultimately, you have free will to choose, and it's been written into your contract. So we're in this great divine plan right now, as you all know. And it's affecting many others all over the cosmos, from what I understand. I speak with the Arcturians, and they tell me this, and many others that I speak with, that this is a ripple effect that is going on. It is not just affecting us. It is affecting many other, I call them cultures, but, you know, planetary systems and that. As we are growing, so is everyone else, because if you imagine we are one big consciousness, how could one part be affected without the other part? So we're a part of the real big grand plan. And as we move, they move also. It has a major effect on them. And we're getting a lot of help. So we're getting a lot of help from everywhere, but I think some of the main characters that are helping us in this play are the Pleiadians, who are what we consider our parent culture, coming to help us. And then the Arcturians, who are like the grandparents. They help the Pleiadians evolve, and then in turn, they have been here for a long time working to help us move into our 5D. All right. So how do we activate more light and create a higher frequency? How do we bring this in? When I was in Peru, we brought a group to Peru, to Aramu, Maru, Peru. Aramu?
No, this
is in Mexico. I'm sorry. This is in Peru. Oh, really? Oh, okay. That's interesting. I don't think they ever told us that. We were just told we were in Peru. Thank you very much. Okay. This is one of the most interesting places if you ever have an opportunity to go here. This is incredible. So there are three doorways, two that are etched out like in half circles, and then this doorway, which is in the middle there. And I stood in the first doorway. I don't even really remember what came to me at that point, but I definitely remember the second one. So you were instructed to go to the first round one, and then to go over to the other half round one. And when I stood in the second half round one, I immediately felt like in the movie Star Trek, where they say, beam me up, Scotty. I felt like I was dematerializing. And it was kind of scary because that had never happened to me before. And who knows where you're going, right? I didn't know. So I kind of like moved out of it because it was a strange feeling. But I knew exactly what was happening to me. And then I went to the middle door. And the middle door is sort of, you know, it's just this kind of odd shaped, not quite a rectangle. And there's this little curve where you put your third eye. You match it there. And I had the portal. This is a portal that opened up. And the portal opened, and three light beings were there. I'll describe. So they kind of looked like clouds a little bit. They had a kind of a shape of a head, it's kind of a very long oblong. And then their body was kind of shaped like the door. And there were three of them. There was one in the back and two in the front. And everything comes in threes, right? And they asked me to come with them. And I declined. Now I'm not so sure. But it was an amazing experience to stand there and be asked, would you like to come with us? Now, we had 40 in our group. That's, you know, a decent amount of people. And I asked most everyone at dinner if anybody else had that experience. We were talking about our experiences. Nobody else had that experience. But I had have a friend 2 years prior to, he visited the same site, and he said the same thing happened to him. Now, I've known many people that have been here, but I've never heard anybody have that same experience. So everybody's experience was different, but it was a really neat experience. So how do we move into light, into more light? And we do it with healing sounds, and we do it with the identification of who we are. So earlier I talked about merging with your higher self. The more we know who we really are without the illusions we carry, the more, one, you want to be in that, and two, the more it will cause you to move closer and have that experience, that desire. It's kind of like, I'll have what she's having over there, you know? And the more we work with the higher beings, because what happens is we begin to merge with these higher beings. And this is exactly why I'm explaining some of these experiences, because there's a lot of merging, there's a lot of energy kind of what I call reciprocation in a sort of way. You can feel when it's not only you and it's something else. So we identify with the masters and the higher beings and we become a part of them. So what I want to do, I want to take us on a journey because I don't want to run out of time and this is something I really want to do. Okay. All right. So if everybody would put their feet on the floor, okay? Stop what you're doing. And I'm going to ask the Arcturian guides to work with us today, okay? And now close your eyes and relax. Just feel yourself getting really comfortable where you are. You can feel your muscles just softening. Relax. Take a deep breath in through your nose and exhale out your mouth. And watch it, the air, the breath, the aloha as it comes in through your nose and it exhales out your mouth. And now I want you to lift yourself up to a place now over the earth where we will all connect together. And in this higher state, envision a pyramid. And I'll give you a moment. Now I want you to focus your attention on this pyramid. And now bring your consciousness to a point on top of the pyramid. And from that point, feel your consciousness separating from your physical body and your etheric body. Just feel yourself, allow yourself to move out, out, out. You've done this before. And now we are moving as a collective consciousness. And from this point, on the top of the pyramid, in a collective consciousness with the Arcturians, I want you to travel down a long, beautiful light-filled tunnel. It's a long, beautiful, light-filled tunnel. It glows. It is the corridor to the fifth dimension. And place your consciousness now in the Arcturian guide that has been assigned to you. You may not see it, maybe, maybe not. It's okay. But just place your trust in this guide. And you can venture out into an aspect of this fifth dimension by putting your consciousness into the guide that has been assigned to you and step out. Just allow yourself to go. Don't hold back. And look through the eyes of your guide. Either you can go behind them, or you can just ask to see through them. You are now inside a very highly trained being, and you are inside an Arcturian. I'd like you to feel, see, taste, and experience this dimension. Your Arcturian guide can also connect you to your multidimensional self. By raising the crown chakra energy within the Arcturian guide, it's much like an antenna, you are suddenly receiving many different instructions and pieces of information about yourself. I'll give you a minute. This information can come into your consciousness from the antenna of your Arcturian guide. And the information is now being transferred to you. You can continue to experience this 5D light. However, you probably won't be able to stay long, because there are limitations of your Arcturian host. So I know you'd like to stay in this experience for a while longer, but I'm going to ask you to come back now. Come back, just feel your feet on the floor, wiggle your toes. Kind of stretch yourself a little bit. Feel those muscles. That's it. Kind of like the waking up process. Feel your feet on the floor. Tap them if you need to. Tap them. Wiggle your arms and your fingers a little. Move your arms. Come on back. Yep, takes a bit sometimes. Takes a bit. Yeah, okay. Who had a good experience or had some experience? Yeah, and if you didn't, no worries. Sometimes it takes a little practice to go in at that level. Yeah, so it's okay. But you can do this over again, and not only that, whatever you received, that information is stored with you now. So I want to talk just for a minute and take a look, or talk about taking a look from another perspective through a different lens. So we know 2020 was a tipping point, and we no longer, most of us, want to live in 3D. We want to have the experience of 5D. We want to let go. We want to move into that 5D feeling without destroying ourselves and remaining enslaved in the 3D that we are. We know that that animal loop continues to go round and round. What's in the ego, the old enslaved feeling. So it's very limiting. We want to shift into 5D, into that higher brain function in the frontal cortex, which keeps us from the deep flow and that higher state of consciousness that we all love to experience. It feels so good when we're there. I know you didn't want to come back, right? So, I want to talk a little bit, just for a minute, about my mission here. My mission is to help other people experience and evolve. This, I will explain that when I went to my future self, I went and experienced this up on the starship. I've been there several times. I spoke with the commander, the Arcturian commander, who I am connected to. And he told me, or I'll just put it in a he, sorry. He told me that what I do is I live on that starship, and lifetime after lifetime, we go different places. And it is my, I'll say my task that I've agreed to is to help others evolve. And I believe that's why I'm a receptor, because I hear the information and I can share it back to help us move into a higher dimension. So how do I do this? I work with guided meditation. I clear energy fields. I work with the karma and other lifetimes of people. I work to recalibrate, because that's what's going on. We're recalibrating ourselves and activating in light code or through light code, managing the awakening process, building relationships with the beings that are there guiding us and helping us. One of my favorites, like I said, knowing who you are, the true you. And what is your purpose here? What was your contract? So just stop and think. This is not a piece of paper that you just quickly signed and said, okay, handed it back to them during, in between, before incarnating. If you can imagine the details that are involved when you choose to incarnate again, right down to the mole on your foot, okay? I mean, every little detail, what color eyes you're going to have, all of that information is put into you in your contract, what you're going to do, what you'd like to accomplish, whether you do or don't, is up to you, whether you awaken and choose to walk that path of destiny. All of those details. Now imagine your higher self is there. Your master guide, that which has been with you since you were the spark of light that left and embodied, okay? You may have angelic realm with you. You may have, oftentimes, your counselor, at least part of your counsel. Think of all that energy that is there. This is not a haphazard happening, a contract. This is very detailed and important. A lot of thought goes into each individual, all right? So you have a mission. So knowing who you are and what you're doing here is very important. Just like myself, as I've explained, to understand why I'm here gives me great clarity to staying on my path and what I need to do. I've written a book, Oh No, Not Another Learning Experience, because I've had many experiences that have been challenging that have taught me how to keep my focus and how to stay on my path. Because the path I have, I contracted with much help and desire and light. So, what else do I want to do? Oh, I know what I wanted to do. Do I have a few more minutes?
You've got 10 minutes.
Okay, that's enough. So, all right.
Questions
I will in a minute, but I want to speak a little light language, okay? All right, so what I'd ask you to do, close your eyes for just a few moments. And I'd ask you to intend that you receive whatever is coming into you from this language. I speak with the light beings, and they are going to share. They're asking me to tone. So if everyone would take a moment and we can all tone together, which is about bringing in the sound and raising our vibrations. So let's all do that, okay? Oh. Again. Oftentimes they'll spend more time. I know we are on a short time, so they just wanted to bring blessings. Thank you for listening, for receiving the information, for bringing it into yourself, for wanting to raise your light and your vibration. Any questions? Questions. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for coming today.